The combination of Congress's failure to pass a 2013 budget and the automatic sequestration cuts the Pentagon has called a doomsday scenario has military leaders worried. The steepness of the defense cuts, they say, would be unprecedented and would make large segments of the uniformed military unready to deploy by the end of the year. But when he testified before the Senate Armed Services Committee yesterday, Deputy Defense Secretary Ashton Carter sounded almost resigned to the idea that the doomsday scenario will indeed happen.
Secretary Panetta and I have been using the word devastating for 16 months now. You know, there was a time when I thought that sequestration wasn't likely either. I used to say that I was hopeful and optimistic. Then I said I was just hopeful, and now I'm not even hopeful, because we're only 2 weeks away.
The $45 billion in cuts scheduled to take place on March 1st would slice every program in DOD by an equal amount. Congress made the cuts irrational and painful by design, so that it would force itself to find another way to reduce the national deficit. But those 2013 cuts are only the beginning. The law that created sequestration also imposes caps on DOD spending for 10 years, caps the military says are too low to execute the current defense strategy. This year's cuts will severely erode military readiness, according to General Martin Dempsey, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And in this exchange with South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, he says things will only get worse from there.
None of us walk away or run away from a crisis or a fight. That's, you know, that's not our nature. But I will tell you personally, if ever the force is so degraded and so unready, and then we're asked to use it, it would be immoral to use the force unless it's well-trained, well-led, and well-equipped.
Are we on the path to creating that dilemma for future commanders?
We are on that path.
Because of the different characteristics of the military services, sequestration would have different readiness impacts for the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marine Corps. But the Army and Marines would see the most immediate and largest shortfalls in their operation and maintenance accounts, which fund everything from training to civilian pay. General Ray Odierno, the Army's chief of staff, says the Army will have a $17 to $18 billion shortfall just in its O&M accounts by the end of the year if sequestration and a full-year continuing resolution both happen. He says the Army's prioritizing warfighting efforts in Afghanistan, but it would be forced to cut out training for 80% of its ground forces.
Currently, we have funded the next group of units that would go into Afghanistan. We cannot fund the group that comes after them. And that would be done in the later part of 13. Okay. So what that means is the initial replacements that go in the beginning of 14 are funded. Those who would come in later in the year are not. And so it would take them much longer to be prepared. And so we'll have to make a decision somewhere along the line to either extend those already there or send people there that are not ready. And I choose not to send people there that will not be ready. So that's the cascading impact we have on this real problem we have in the 13 budget in terms of our operations and maintenance funds.
Odierno says the Army would have to impose delays on each one of its 10 major acquisition programs as well and cancel repair and maintenance of major equipment in the second half of the fiscal year, causing the layoffs of around 5,000 people. In 2014 and beyond, the Army would have to reduce its size by at least another 100,000 soldiers.
I began my career in a hollow Army. I do not want to end my career in a hollow Army.
In the Marine Corps, the story is similar. With much of its operation and maintenance budget tied up in Afghanistan, it'll have to take cuts disproportionately from non-deployed operations. General Jim Amos, the commandant of the Marine Corps, says that prioritization of resources is already having an effect.
I have kept deploying units ready, but only by stripping away the foundations of the long-term readiness of the total force. While these short-term adaptations are possible, the enduring effects of some of these decisions put us at an unsustainable tipping point. By the end of this year, more than 50% of my combat units will be below minimal acceptable levels of readiness for deployment to combat. In a sense, we're eating our seed corn to feed current demands, leaving less to plant for the long-term capabilities of the force. This pattern inevitably leads to a hollow force, and its impacts are already being felt under the continuing resolution.
They're being felt in the Navy as well, says Admiral Mark Ferguson, the Vice Chief of Naval Operations. For instance, the Navy last week canceled the deployment of the carrier USS Truman just as sailors were preparing to depart. By the end of this week, it will notify shipbuilders that it's canceling all maintenance in the third and fourth quarter of this year. And if sequestration happens a couple weeks later, training will take an immediate hit.
Like the other services, we effectively stopped training and certifications of our air wings. We shut down four air wings on March 1st. After 90 days, those pilots lose their certification, and now it takes 6 to 9 months to retrain them at a much higher cost.
And Ferguson says the cash shortfall has already had an effect on the maintenance the Navy is doing as a result of the hiring freeze DOD has imposed across the military services.
With the hiring freeze, we lose about 350 workers a week, 1,400 a month out of our civilian industrial base, and we'll be down 3,000 in our shipyards. And if we furlough, we will furlough the workers in our shipyards, which will cascade through on the work completion rates of the submarines and the ships going through overhaul in those public yards, and really impact in a cascading way the readiness going forward.
Carter, the deputy secretary, says under sequestration, most of DOD's civilian workforce would be furloughed for 1 day a week, probably starting in April, after the military makes required legal notifications to Congress and labor groups. He told the Senate that furlough would have immediate operational impacts.
For our much maligned civilians, you know, a lot of people think that DOD civilians are people who live in the Washington suburbs and get up in the morning and come in and go to work in an office building here. They're not. They are mostly people at depots and shipyards that are fixing our equipment. 44% of them are veterans. 86% of them don't even live in the Washington area. The net of it is that many of them will be furloughed for as many as 22 days before April 1st, say, and the end of the year. In other words, a fifth of their paycheck gone. I can't be furloughed under the law because I'm a presidential appointee, but I'm going to give back a fifth of my salary in the last 7 months of the year if other people in the department are getting sequestered.
And while military pay would be exempt from sequestration, uniform members would be hit too, the Pentagon says. DOD would have to try to scramble to fill a multi-billion dollar hole in its health care budget, hopefully avoiding cuts to TRICARE services. But DOD says all other services military members rely on would suffer.
Base operations, that is to say, the support services, whether it's teachers in the schools, medical professionals in clinics, about 30% of base operations will be degraded.
Even though he's no longer hopeful that Congress will avoid sequestration in the remaining couple weeks, Carter says it's vital that they try, or at least delay it.
But the cloud of uncertainty hanging over our nation's defense affairs is already having lasting and irreversible effects. And ultimately, the cloud of sequestration needs to be dispelled and not just moved to the horizon. And what's particularly tragic is that sequestration is not a result of an economic recession or an emergency. It's not because discretionary spending cuts are the answer to our nation's fiscal challenge. You can do the math. All this is purely the collateral damage of political gridlock.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.